This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott.
All right. The key elements for a successful sled team are a steady driver and three strong runners to push off down the ice. Ice? It's kind of a winter sport, you know. You mean winter, as in igloos and Eskimos and penguins and ice?
Since the movie Cool Runnings came out in 1993, the Jamaican bobsled team has been an unofficial symbol of the unlikely Olympic dream coming true. Ollie Williams is the BBC Olympic sports reporter in Sochi, and he wrote the article, 10 Unlikely Contenders at the Winter Olympics. Ollie, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Hello.
Well, many in the press have tweeted about the poor quality of their living quarters. Have you experienced any bad conditions where you're staying?
I have to say that the tragedy that has befallen me is that when I did look in the minibar, the nuts were out of date. And I have raised this with all manner of executives. However, I have heard worse stories. A colleague of mine went into his first bedroom to find that there was rubble all over the floor and all over the bed. He said, look, I can't sleep here. Fair to say that of the two, maybe the minibar nuts are maybe the smaller tragedy to deal with.
Well, glad you've endured. Well, let's get to this article, 10 Unlikely Contenders at the Winter Games. We won't be able to get to all of them, but we have a full list up at wordofmouthradio.org. That's a connection to Ollie's article. One of the more bizarre stories here is that of Bruno Banani from the small island country of Tonga. His name probably won't ring any bells here in America, but it definitely would in Germany. Can you explain?
If you do already know the name Bruno Banani, then you have an exotic taste in underwear, and that's entirely acceptable. There's nothing wrong with that. Bruno Banani is the name of a German underwear manufacturer, and he's also a luger for Tonga, as you've just pointed out. And it's not a coincidence at all, because what happened was, around about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a Tongan man who was selected to try his hand at luge for various machinations. He ended up being reasonably good at luge, but you need sponsorship, you need money to do these things. And someone came up with the bright idea of having him change his name to match the German underwear manufacturer Bruno Banani. So now you have a luger sponsored by Bruno Banani, whose name is Bruno Banani, competing at the Sochi 2014 Winter Olympics. And it must be said, he did not finish last. I mean, he was a good 6 or 7 off the bottom. So there are 6 or 7 losers in the world who got to an Olympics and finished below a German underwear manufacturer in the standings.
Next, we have Prince Uberes von Hohenlohe. Please correct me there. He's from Mexico. NBC dubbed him as the most interesting Olympian in the world. First, how do you say his name? And what can you tell us about this prince?
Well, I can understand you struggling. It is the common Mexican name, Prince Hubertus von Hohenlohe. And he is, yes, he is the son of German minor royalty who happens to have a Mexican connection via a half-Mexican grandmother. And that was enough for him in 1981 to set up the one-man Mexican Ski Federation. He's now 55 years old, which means he's the second oldest Winter Olympian in history. And he has made a name for himself, if you like, over the past 16, 20 years, going to the Winter Olympics and skiing. Because the way that the qualification works means that you can, if you're from a smaller country and you're not quite as good at skiing, sneak into the Olympics, especially in slalom and giant slalom in alpine skiing, where the criteria are slightly weaker. So you'll find that alongside Prince Hubertus, there are 4 or 5 other unlikely candidates in alpine skiing. But he is the ringleader, if you like. He is the big one. He has been doing this for 15, 20 years now. And maybe, who knows, he'll be back in South Korea in 4 years' time.
Well, not to mention he has a smashing outfit.
He does. He has a mariachi outfit. So he, yeah, mariachi, the Mexican folk music, he takes that as inspiration. There is a beautiful photo of him standing in front of the Olympic rings, hands on hips, looking very dramatic, very passionate, in full mariachi dress, but it's a race suit, and he has worn that, and he will be wearing that later on in the Games.
Well, let's stay with the alpine skiing and the giant slalom. Vanessa May from Thailand is going to be competing. She's more well-known for another profession. What is she?
She certainly is, certainly in Britain. I mean, she is from Britain. She's born in Singapore, but she's a British citizen. Vanessa May is a concert violinist, and she is particularly known for quite explosive, flamboyant violin performances. That's where she made her name. And now here she is, having announced 4 years ago, largely to rather unkind chuckling, that she would like to go to a Winter Olympics as a skier. bearing in mind that she's around about 5'3" tall. Like, all right, fair enough. Go and get some skis. Let's see how we get on. But it turns out she's actually reasonably good. Good enough that she has made it to the Olympics, and she's skiing for Thailand because that is her father's country of birth, and she would never have made it into the British skiing team under the British qualification criteria. Thailand, on the other hand, appear perfectly happy to have just said, oh, you've qualified. Great. On you go. Without really worrying where she's going to finish at the Games. She's unlikely to trouble Michaela Schifrin of the US in the slalom contest, or at least if she does, then Michaela Schifrin has some searching questions to ask herself, being beaten by a concert violinist in the Olympic Games. But it'll be a sight to see.
There are other Winter Olympic athletes coming from warmer climes. Shiva Keshavan from India is going to be competing in the luge. So what is his story?
Shiva Keshavan is amazing because he is Indian. He's competing under the independent flag here in Sochi because there's a political dispute between the IOC and Indian authorities. So he can't call himself Indian here, which is a bit weird. But anyway, he is from India and he trains there. But of course, luge tracks, reasonably short supply in India. So he uses mountain roads instead. And he has a sled on wheels that he steers down mountain roads past traffic, including there's an amazing shot on YouTube, which you'll be able to find if you search for his name, Shiva Keshavan, of him going underneath a truck and then passing a herd of mountain goats, which is just unfathomable to watch that you can do this and call it training. Again, he did not finish last, so whatever he's doing with those mountain goats, it's working.
The most interesting thing about the American snowboarder Vic Wild is not his name, funnily enough, but the country he's going to be competing for, which is Russia. Now, how did this kind of thing happen?
Yeah, he's competing for Russia. He's the first ever American to compete, well, American-born citizen, I should say, to compete for Russia at a Winter Olympic Games. This came about because he was kind of a struggling snowboarder in 2008, 2009, wasn't really getting where he wanted to be. And he ended up deciding that one of the reasons for that was that he wasn't really getting the support he needed from the US team. And then he met a Russian snowboarder called Alina Zavadzina, who is a reasonably good snowboarder. She's on the Russian team. And they ended up dating. And then after Vancouver 2010, they ended up getting married. And what that meant was that Vic Wild could therefore essentially move across to Russia and join the Russian team, which is exactly what he did, because the Russian snowboard team said, well, hey, we're really interested in you. You look like you could be quite good. They gave him a bit more of the support he was after. And so, what are we, 3 years after the wedding now, he is one of the world's leading snowboarders. He was a bronze medalist at the World Championships last year. And now, suddenly, with a name like Vic Wild, he is at a home Olympics for Russia.
Ollie, thousands of athletes, so many stories about who they are and how they got there. How did you find out about these particular people?
Some of them stay in the woodwork, buried for years and years and years. Like Shiva Keshavan has been doing this since 1998, and I've never heard of him before. I doubt that many other people had. But then someone always finds them. Because you have to remember that however many amazing stories there are at a Winter Olympics, there are always more journalists. There are probably 10 of us for every athlete that there is here. And everyone wants to find the story. And sometimes the best way to find that is not to look at the top of the results list, but it's to look at the bottom and to see who's taking part. And these are where these stories come from. People from ordinary walks of life doing extraordinary things.
Well, Ollie, thank you so much. May your mini bar be filled with proper nuts and have a great time there.
Thank you very much.
Ollie Williams, BBC's Olympic sports reporter. He's in Sochi and he wrote the article 10 Unlikely Contenders at the Winter Olympics for the BBC. You can read his article in full and see his full list of improbable winter athletes, including links to some of the videos that he mentioned at wordofmouthradio.org.